Prämie Direkt First Half 2018 Financial Results Conference Call. All participants will be in listen mode. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. Lorenzo Rivabene, Head of Group Corporate Development and Investor Relations, is going to start the call. Please go ahead, madam.
Good afternoon and welcome to Autogrill's First Half 2018 Earnings Call. Joining me on the call are Gianmario Tondato, our Group CEO, and Alberto De Vecchi, our Group CFO. Before we get started, we want to emphasize that some of the information discussed in this call contain forward-looking statements that involve risk and uncertainty. Actual results may differ materially from those set forth in such statements. For a discussion of these risks and uncertainties, you should review the disclaimer in the earnings presentation we issued today. Now we are available to take your questions. Thank you.
We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Simone Le Chiffre of Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I would have three questions, if I may. First of all, in terms of your guidance, in terms of EBITDA, so the midpoint implies a very slight decline in margin, so in H2. So could you please give us some color on the margin performance you are expecting by region for the second half of the year? My second question for North America, so you are suffering in the region from labor cost pressure. So how confident are you in your capacity to pass this cost increase into prices, and when do you expect to be able to do so? And lastly, if you could please maybe remind us your acquisition policy, and maybe if you could comment on the pipeline of acquisition. Thank you.
So to summarize, you would like to have some color on the margin performance assumed in the 2018 guidance, some information on the labor cost pressure in North America and how to face it, and what about the acquisition pipeline? Is that correct?
Yes, that's it.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, with respect to the evolution, our expectations on the guidance we gave on 2018, we expect a partial recovery of margins with respect to what you see in the first half of North America, and that means that we expect to finish at an EBITDA margin that is probably a bit weaker than last year in terms of margins, but we will have the benefit of the fact that we expect a good evolution in the top line, also generated by the fact that last year we had a strong first half and a weaker second half because of also the weather conditions. So this year we think that we can recover in the second half, and also and I arrive, then I can give you the answer to the second question in this first, because also we expect to move on to prices, part of the pressure that we had on the cost of, labor in North America. So the two elements, good performance in sales and also driven by some pricing adjustment in the second half in North America would allow us to improve the margins. Consider also that within the result of the first half 2018, we have also more than $4 million of one-offs that in part have driven our margins down the first half, that we don't obviously expect to have the same impact in the second half. With respect to international, the second half of the year will see a progressive improvement of margins generated by the fact that the reduction in the first half has been driven mainly by the startup phase of some new openings. and the more we go in the year, the better the margin should be. So in principle, we don't expect, we see in this for 2018 a margin for international possibly also improving compared to last year. So that is an area where we will see some increase in the margins in the second half. As far as Europe is concerned, we will on the full year we will see an improvement in margins. You have already seen that in the first half of the year you have seen stable margins at the underlying level, notwithstanding certain also opening costs that we had in the airports in Europe. So we expect that if we are able to generate a good summer sales, because you know that there is a lot of seasonality in our especially in our motorway business in Europe, we are confident that we can provide also some improvement in margins also in 2018. Knowing that obviously the most of the increase in margins will be generated in 19, also thanks to the actions that we are taking in 18, among others the action of on the early retirement of in Italy. With respect and for labor, as I said, the environment, the inflation environment in the industry is there. We had an inflation in the range of 4% in the first half. We don't expect to see it disappearing in the second half. But obviously, the more we go in the year, the more we can also work on both some pricing and also some mix actions in order to make our sales more profitable. On the acquisition pipeline, in fact, we don't have news on the subject, and so that means that our strategy remains the same. So we are looking to opportunities. As you have seen, we have concluded an acquisition in the first half through the acquisition in Europe of Le Corbeil in the German railway stations. The purpose is to look to these mid-sized companies that may help us in repositioning us more and more into the channels that we consider strategic, that is primarily airports and also in certain geographies railway stations.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Jaafar Mestari of Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I've got two questions, please. Firstly, on the intergenerational pact in Italy. My Italian is, let's say, non-existent, so if you could please help me confirm a couple of elements that I have picked up in the Italian press. So you will accept up to 500 early retirements, and then you've agreed to hire back 60% of that final numbers. And they can be under temporary contracts initially, but eventually that's going to be 90% full-time employees. So that's the first part of my question, just to understand that better. And then second question, in North America, the new business was slightly positive in Q2, it seems, and that's the first time for a while. So could you please remind us what contract awards you have that are being rolled out for the rest of the year? We've heard about a couple of recent wins in Detroit and LaGuardia, but I'm assuming that's for later. So what is happening this year in North America new business, please?
Okay, so thank you, Jaafar. So to summarize, you would like to have more details on the cross-generational deal in Italy. And as far as North America is concerned, you would like to have more details on the net positive new openings we have in our revenue bridge. Is that correct?
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jafar. With respect to the pact among generations that we have launched in Italy, we'll say that the advantage is to reduce the average age of our work population. In fact, we are not, say, playing on the different nature of the contracts, because we're not expecting to, retire people full-time employed and to substitute with people with a temporary contract. That is not the basic idea. The idea is, in fact, to have younger people that have, for obvious reason, our business, our work is rather physical, higher productivity, and that, because they are younger, have a lower pay. And the advantage is there, is not determined by the fact that we are applying a different contract. With respect of, in terms of numbers, we had preferred to give an indication in terms of potential value of, in terms of cost and also the benefit, because at the moment we don't know yet how many people will be involved in this program, as because it is voluntary, so we had to wait until we have closed the first phase in order to receive the indication from people that wanted to adhere to the pact, but then we had to wait to see if they have the criteria to be eligible for participating in the pact, and this is we are waiting for the verification of Social Security first. So most likely we will have the full picture by probably the end of October. So what we can reiterate that the overall cost, theoretical cost, if all the people that theoretically are eligible to enroll in this pact, maybe up to 22 million in terms of the cost in the P&L, would be a bit, the impact on a cash flow basis will be higher, because you have also to pay the fund for the termination fund for the people. But then we expect that this cost will be recovered in less than 3 years. So that is so the payback is between 7 and 8 million per year. This is the indication with respect to the generation pact. With respect to the wins, as we said some months ago, we expect that this year the net contribution of the openings in U.S. will be higher than the closures. As you can imagine, as we are the largest operator in U.S., the vast majority of our wins are renewals. In that case, you have the openings, but you have also the closure, because when you renew, you close the old stores and you open new stores. And so in terms of net, we have a bunch of new contract and new point of sales to open. It is a bit difficult to predict if we will have the openings by the end of the year, because one of the most difficult things to predict in our business is predicting when you open a store. So the wins is there. We are not yet sure if we will open in the second half or maybe in the first quarter of next year. So that's why it's a bit difficult to predict and to give a guidance on the openings. But there is no doubt that in between the second half of 2018 and the first half of 2019, the contribution of the openings will be positive.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Niccolò Pessina of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon all. Just a couple of questions from my side. The first one is again on North America. I'd like to understand better why you have been impacted so much by the labor inflation. Since the labor force there is highly unionized, you should have been fairly protected from rising costs. So Can you maybe give us an idea of the turnover ratio and how much it increased versus last year? And can you give us also maybe some examples of initiatives you are putting in place to offset the rising labor costs? Second question is, again, on the cross-generational deal. Should we expect all costs to be accounted in 2018, or would you expect parts of the cost to be accounted in 2019? Many thanks.
Okay, as far as the I answer to the second one first. No, the cost will be taken in 2018. So we expect to have all the cost, including 18, and almost all the benefit in 19, because in 18, as we will finish probably by October, November, there will not be a lot of savings. So the cost in 18 and the benefit in 19. With respect to the turnover ratio in our business, in general, in our business, our turnover is much lower in the concession business than in the normal turnover in the restaurant industry. That, for instance, in North America, the turnover in the restaurant industry is higher than 100%. In our industry, historically, has been more in the area of 50 to 60%. There is the turnover, obviously, but it is more limited than what you have in the restaurant. More recently, I think that it is an evolution of the last 2 years, probably, we have seen an increase in turnover also in the concession industry. And now, instead of being in between 50 and 60%, we are in North America in the area of 80%. So it's still better than in the restaurant industry downtown, but is much higher than what we were used to see, say, several years ago.
Okay, many, many thanks.
Welcome.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. I have some questions. The first one is about net openings for a group. At the beginning of the year, you stated about, roughly speaking, 100 million of additional sales coming from net openings for 2018. Do you confirm this target, and if you would like to add some color on other geographies, in particular in Europe and in international? My second question is about extraordinary costs that you had in North America, roughly speaking 4 million. I would like to better understand what are these costs and what kind of benefits you expect to reap in the second half. And finally, my last question is about your 2019 guidance that seems quite positive, consider the current first semester this year. I would like to better understand how much of the jump between 2018 to 2019 is expected to come from cost-cutting initiatives. You said about 7-8 million from Italy, but I would like to maybe better understand under your initiative in terms of cost. Thank you.
Thank you. So let's start with the net openings. Yes, in principle, it's still a reasonable assumptions to have a positive contribution of that size. As I answered to the previous question, say guessing about the timing of the openings is always difficult. Sometimes it was difficult to guess about the timing of the closures because it's not so obvious to understand when you have to leave a store or you have to close a store. But I think that is reasonable that considering what we have to open in North America and the openings that we are doing in international and in certain European countries, it's not unlikely that we can finish in this area. With respect to the one-off cost, the 4 million euro equivalent, sorry, $4 million. cost in North America. They are related basically to two areas. Almost 2 million are related to actions on the networks. That means that is for the people in the stores. While 2 million are severance cost related to redundancy in headquarters. So what we expect is that we can have we can head back. Say certainly the cost related to the headquarters will be probably recovered in the next 12 months. It is in the second half 2018 to 2019. So in principle, we expect that the benefit of this 4 million euro equivalent cost will be recovered in almost soon, probably not 100% in the second half 2018, but definitely in between the second half 2018 and the opening of 2019. As far as the guidance is concerned, obviously, as we try to explain, to some extent, the part of the lower results that you see in the first half 2018 are generated by actions that will deliver value in 2019, also in the second half of 2018, but most of them in 2019. So part of the jump is related to the fact that we anticipate the cost this year in order to have the benefit next year. You have already seen our expectation on the impact intergenerazionale, because we can expect that we can deliver out of the pact in next year around 7 to 8 million lower cost of labor, but the efficiency, especially on labor, will not be limited to this 7 to 8 million, because we have several other actions in order to use, for instance, technology more extensively in the back office in order to save hours, basically. In this case, it's not a reduction in terms of heads, but probably in terms of the overall labor, because we can use the people better. Definitely we have the target for an internal target for our efficiency that is significantly higher than what we can recover from the patto. This is valid not only for Italy, where only Italy we have the patto intergenerazionale, but we are working also in other countries in order to have benefits. Both in other European countries as well as in part in North America, in U.S. Probably the only area where we are not considering efficiency programs is international, because the goal of international is to generate expansion and growth more than to reduce costs, while in the other geographies that are already developed, we want to improve the efficiency.
Okay, just a follow-up on this point. So probably, if I understand well, you didn't have in your previous guidance these savings in Italy. It's correct, this point, because actually from your previous guidance, the labor cost in the U.S. seems higher than it was in the past. So basically, what is the balance? Okay, thank you.
I'm not completely sure to have understood the question, because if it wasn't a question, because but my if you speak about the patto intergenerazionale, we had the benefit of the patto intergenerazionale in the guidance, so
okay.
that is a change. And as well as many of the actions that we are delivering, we are doing in 2018, were already planned in 2017, and we are simply delivering out of this program. So the vast majority, obviously, with the time, we define our actions a bit better. So 1 year ago, say, we had broad titles, and now we have an action plan. But the target was already set at the time of the guidance, and we are delivering on the this plan.
Okay, it's clear. Thank you.
The next question is from Luca Bacoccoli of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. My first question is on the U.S. Margin. So basically, one third of the drop in profitability in this area is driven by the one-off, while the other portion is given to the wage inflation and probably the COGS increase. So I was wondering if you have already started in taking a price action as a way to offset wage inflation. And my second question is on the Italian motorist channel. It seems that with a 1.5% like-for-like, this channel eventually stopped underperforming the traffic. I was wondering if this is a correct, let's say, assumption. And my last question is a more general one, which is related again to the U.S., where the economy is, of course, healthy, and this probably explains the wage inflation. And I was wondering if you also are feeling the positive effect of this condition in the sense of, in terms of larger number of transactions or better average ticket price. Thank you.
Okay, so let's start from your first question. Okay. Well, in terms of the composition of the evolution of the margin in North America, obviously pressure on labor cost is the main driver that generated the margin dilution in the first half. And consider that in terms of unit labor cost, we have seen an increase of around 4% year on year. And this is mainly due to the full employment environment we're living in North America. So when we had to give you an indication which are the main driver of the reduction in margin, let's say that probably one half of the reduction is driven by labor, and then only a minor part is driven by an increasing cost of goods sold, because as a matter of fact, we've not seen an increase in the cost of goods sold in general. We have seen an increase only in a category that is the purchase price of the product of the food offering of Starbucks. This is the only area where we have seen some increase in the cost. Obviously, as it is an important portion of our sales, this has driven some dilution in margins, but probably is responsible for no more than 10 basis points in the first half of the reduction. So, and the rest is the one-off that you mentioned. So I think that speaking about the composition, one half is labor, another 40% is driven by the one-off, and 10% is driven by the cost of goods sold. In terms of evolution of the performance on the Italian motorways, I think that 1.5 like-for-like probably is not so fantastic when we compare to the like-for-like you can have in an airport channel, but it is a fairly good performance because unfortunately, I'm not so convinced that we are underperforming traffic in Italy if we do a 1.5% like-for-like. Because there are not so many information on the traffic in Italian motorways, but as far as we can see, if we look at the light traffic, that is the traffic that is important for us, We have the information we have that are partial because there are not official statistics, is that it is only lightly positive, probably less than 0.5, is probably something in between 0.3 and 0.4%. So making a 1.5% like for like is not underperforming traffic. And the third one is when we speak about what we expect and what we perceive in terms of the evolution in North America on our way to improve the profitability, to capture more business, etc. I think that for the time being, what we see as mainly the area for improving the average ticket more than the number of transactions.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
The last question is from Tim Ramskill of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I have two questions, please. The first is just to return to the profitability outlook in Europe, helped by the cost actions in Italy. So the 7 or 8 million euros of annual benefit you've talked about, I think, is probably worth around about 40 basis points to margins. You've alluded to the fact on this call that there are probably some other efficiency opportunities in Europe. I just wondered if they're already being enacted, because obviously you've talked about and we can see the one-off costs in North America, we can see those one-off costs in Italy, but are you already starting to take those actions elsewhere in Europe? And maybe you can just help us understand the possible size and impact of those on margins for 2019 and beyond. And then my second question, which slightly follows on from the previous person, is around trends in North America. I mean, it's probably fair to say that in both the airport channel and on the motorways, the growth trends so far this year have perhaps have been a bit lower than we've enjoyed, than you've enjoyed over the last few years. So I just wondered what your thoughts were on that. It seems like a slightly more subdued top-line environment. Do you think that can re-accelerate? What would be your expectations of the medium term? Maybe you can spend a moment talking about both airports and then separately about the motorways. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Sorry, just to check if we understood well. You would like to have some color on the profitability outlook in Europe after the actions we are putting in place in Italy, if there is the possibility to have some other actions in addition to the cross-generational deal. And as far as North America is concerned, you would like to have a better understanding of the current trends on motorways and at airports. Is that correct?
Yes, and maybe just to put on the second part of the question, maybe to put them in some sort of historic context and maybe what you potentially see going forwards as well.
Okay, thank you.
In terms of Europe, first of all, let's say that our team in Europe is doing a lot. That's because sometimes we tend to be focused only on efficiency measures. The bulk of the actions is based on efficiency, also because we know that as we are in Europe predominant at the moment in motorways, the intrinsic capacity of this channel to grow is limited. And so if you have a rather stable reference, you have to work on all the other aspects and being more efficient to have better margins. But it's also fair to say that, for instance, just in this first part of the year, a lot of work has been done in Italy to improve also the offer. And so we're not only working on the cost side, we're also working on the offer in order ultimately to improve the top line. Having said that, yes, you are right that our ambition in terms of improvement of our business model is larger than the patto intergenerazionale, because obviously this is the single more evident action, because we'll will have an effect on a higher number of people, but what we are working is to re-engineering part of the business in order to be more lean and at the end to be more efficient and more rapid to react. And in fact, this is consistent with our ambition that we communicate to have a high single-digit margin for Europe by the end of these actions that will happen. The vast majority in 19 and probably with some value to achieve also in 2020. And so in order to get there, we are not limited to the 8 million. Under this respect, I think that probably the best moment when to elaborate on that is once we conclude the intergenerational pact, because at that point we have a base and on which we can elaborate on the overall target. But definitely the intergenerational pact is only a part of the improvement of the margins that we expect in Europe. As far as North America is concerned, I think that the picture of the first half has been traffic that is performing reasonably well in airport, because at the end we have seen a growth in the range of 3%, and we are overperforming that traffic. But to say that for a mature market like U.S. is the 3% is reasonable growth, something between 3% and 4%. So we don't see major changes there. What has been rather disappointing has been the traffic in the motorways and also our performance in the motorways in the first half, because in fact we have seen our sales declining in and traffic that was flat in the first half of the year. Even though we don't have yet statistics on for the full semester, we have the first portion of the semester as an indication of the traffic. But in general, it is true that the traffic has been sluggish on the motorways and difficult to capture. So that has been, if you like, the difference compared to previous year. We didn't have the impression that there was a major changes in the environment in airport. The good fact for us is that, say, still more than 80% of our sales is generated in airport in U.S. So the bulk of the business is solid, and I think that we can deliver good results. But it is true that the motorways are less exciting in North America as they've been in the last years in Europe.
Okay, and then maybe I could just add one quick follow-up on the growth outlook in North America. Given your comments earlier about the likelihood that pricing will obviously increase as you take those actions, do you think that in itself is going to lead to an improvement in the like-for-like growth in the second half if you've got more price as a driver of growth?
Well, definitely, if you have an underlying traffic, obviously, if you look at the second half, I mentioned in one of the answers I gave before, the crucial question mark is which is the performance of the traffic in the second half 2019 compared to the 17, considering that the 17 by the bad weather. So that is a portion that we don't know. We can expect that we will have better traffic than last year. But on top of that, obviously, we also expect some increase in the average ticket driven by, moving on to prices, the inflation on labor. So it is true that we expect some, twice effect. First is the traffic, and the second is the increase in the average ticket.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
The last question is from Ali Naqvi of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a couple of questions from me. Once you've made all of the changes in North America and Europe, I'm just thinking more on the medium term, what the operational leverage is going to look like in this business. So could you talk about maybe what the like-for-like drop-through will look like in those two markets once you've made all these changes in the medium term? Also, on the price changes you're looking to make in North America, how far are you in the discussions with airports in terms of putting price rises into the airport concessions? And finally, just on the cross-generational pact in Italy, is this program only being rolled out for this year, or is there potential to roll this out, you know, throughout for next year as another cohort of staff become eligible for it? Thank you.
Thank you, Ali. So to summarize, as far as North America and Europe are concerned, you would like to know if in the medium term what will be the like-for-like for these two regions. As far as North America alone is concerned, you would like to know how far we are in rising the prices at airports. And on the cross-generational deal in Italy, if we have a cost also for the next year, is that correct?
It's just whether you'll be able to do the deal with another set of staff who become eligible for it. So I understand you're only able to offer the deal to a certain number of staff this year who are eligible, but would you be able to do this for future years as well?
Okay, thank you.
Yes, well, operational leverage is important in our industry. So let's say that we consider in general that if you see a like-for-like in normal condition around 3%, you should be able to keep your margins and possibly with the action in the pricing even improving the margins. Obviously, in a normal situation, in a situation in which there is, as it is today in U.S., there is a strong increase in the single most important cost element in our P&L, that is labor, the 3% might result in not being sufficient. That has been the case in the first half. So in principle, in a situation where you have your cost structure rather, say, under control or in a normal situation without major inflation processes, you should be able to extract say value and operational leverage with the growth of your organic growth or your top line around 3%. This is in general rather true everywhere. In fact, when you look at Europe, we have been able in the past to limit the deterioration in the margins in a situation in which we had even a reduction in sales, that is not an increase of 3%, but a reduction, has been because we have really done a lot of work to trying to remain to reduce the perimeter in order to keep the locations and the contracts that are more profitable. So that otherwise, and that is fine, but obviously cannot be a measure that you can take forever, because definitely there is a value in increasing your top line. And once you have, clean your business, at that point you have to start growing again. So the 3% is a general rule of the thumb that might be valid for the industry, I believe. In terms of you ask how far we are in discussion with the airport in order to increase prices. In fact, it is not a negotiation with the airport. The contracts are based on the contract already provide for the criteria based on which you can increase prices. And keep in mind that 80% of our sales in North America are branded, and that means that we are more in good company with all the brands that are also experiencing inflation in their labor costs, in their labor structure. So as soon as they increase prices, we have a title in order to increase the prices in our stores. And in general, we have indication from some main brands that they are increasing the prices. So at the end, we expect that is something that is quite natural, and although it will take some time, because obviously you always are recovering your profitability once you see it deteriorated because of the increase of cost of labor, and you are running up a downward escalator to some extent, for a certain period of time at least. But there is not a negotiation. It is something that is based on the contract. With respect to the patto, to the intergenerazionale, I think that this is a one-off. So we will do this year. We don't expect to repeat in the next future. Although we have a lot of other actions in place in order to improve profitability and to be more efficient.
Great, thank you.
As a reminder, if you have a question, please press star then one. No question is booked at the moment. This concludes our question and answer session.
Okay, thank you very much for your attention and have a good weekend. Bye.
The conference call is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.